Welcome to Go From There. This is your host, Trevante Jaramillo, and I'm very excited. I'm really nervous, kind of. This is going to be fun either way. I don't really, you know, I'll get it together here. But I'm on the phone. I'm in a go-to-meeting right now, which is really cool for me, with Brad Hutchings and Jay Cobb, the hosts of the Tweeting Warrior podcast. Now, okay, before you guys say anything, let me try to set this whole thing up, because I love the setup of this. You guys probably don't know this, but Jay Moore and Moore Stories is the entire reason that I started doing a podcast. I love that podcast. It's fucking hysterical. I love Jay Moore. I love the fact that he can laugh at himself and be an idiot. So he's the entire reason that I started to Go From There podcast. Recently, last few months, Jay landed a real sports radio gig on Fox Sports Radio, Jay Moore Sports. Now, Jay Moore Sports started doing this Twitter hat trick contest, meaning they have live interaction with people on Twitter. And pretty much if you get three of your jokes read during the course of the three-hour morning show, you get a prize, and you get the prestigious crown of being part of the Twitter Hat Trick Club. I tried to play along one day, and not only do I suck, but I got super annoyed at how goddamn funny all you guys are. And pretty much, like, I stopped playing. I just pretty much, like, I listen to the show. I check it here and there. But I just lay back because, like, I can't even get in on this. So, but then the last little piece that I love about this is that there's actually a podcast that is centered on this little bizarre interactive world that Jay Moore and all these guys have created that lives on beyond the show. And now you guys are on my podcast, and I'm super excited. was that winded enough?
That was great, man. That was great. I was going to say, I feel like my balls are appropriately washed and I'm waiting for the wax.
This is going to be a lot of ball washing, I'm going to talk a lot about Jay Moore just because I think he's great, and I want to say his name a lot, so maybe he'll actually be like, hey, look, a podcast about a podcast about your podcast and your radio show. What do you think about that? Like, I don't know. but...
So Trevante, this is Brad.
Hi,
and before you're the first guy to say it, I'm going to say Greg Tuohy, and then the second
old record.
The second thing I'm going to say is, do not feel bad about your tweets. I've won this thing once, way back in January. I have not won again. I do occasionally get read, but there is no way I could put three tweets together to get read. That get read on the same day. It's just not happening. There are some guys that are just way, way better. Cobb, on the other hand, hasn't won once yet, but he's probably the most read of anybody who hasn't actually won. But that'll change soon, I think.
Well, okay, let me
the best of the worst.
Let me throw my hat in the ring as far as, like, you know, involvement and interaction. Let's see. The first episode, I don't remember what number it is, but it was the first appearance of Ryan Sickler on the More Stories podcast. I got the Amazon shout out on the podcast. Now, it was funny because, like, it was an old Twitter account where my radio name was Mexicant. So my old Twitter account was Mexicant20. And apparently he didn't know what that was without the apostrophe, so he read it Mexican T20 and I said I bought an audio converter so I can hook up my Apple TV to my ghetto surround sound, and I got a nice laugh out of Ryan Sickler, so I thought that was cool. But
that's great.
I haven't gotten that's anything cool. but a favorite and a retweet from maybe the Great Blue Dini, Mr. Pants. Yeah, I suck. So I pretty much stopped trying. Like, every once in a while, I don't know if you saw the horseshit that I tried today for you guys.
No, you were good, though. I mean, you definitely reminded us that we had to take time out to do a podcast today, besides, you know, doing our own podcast. And
yeah.
I think we're actually going to meet up at Jay's show again tonight. I was there last night, but we're going to, Cobb and his wife are going to come down, so.
Well, you got to tell them to fucking shout me out on Twitter, because, you know what, I talk about him an abnormal amount. People are like, he's a famous guy. Why do you keep talking about him like you know him? I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I do know him. You know, like
that's amazing. You know, I've I've listened to several episodes of your stuff, and I hadn't heard that. So the story of, but I mean, I think there were like local people you were interviewing or whatever, just so I get a flavor of your show. And I didn't catch the Gene Moore connection until you just told it to me, and that's great.
The difference is, like, you know, he knows people, you know, he's worked with, you know, comedians and actors and all that kind of stuff. So like, automatically you have like notoriety from whoever is on his show, right? Fighters, whatever.
Right.
But for mine, yeah. I was like, well, you know what? Like, I have a bunch of psycho friends, and I mean, I have, like, on my show, there's been some insane stories. And I'm like, okay, they're not famous, but fuck. I mean, people are going to enjoy listening to this story about how I fucking bought a hooker in Vegas, and I was so twacked out I couldn't get it up, and then I locked myself out of my room. Like, who wouldn't want to listen to that shit? You know? That's episode 17, by the way, if you're wondering, so.
Copy that. I want to make a note. Well, I have your tweets here from the ones you tweeted today. I mean, these tweets weren't tweeted to Jay Moore Sports. They were just tweeted to Brad and myself.
Right.
And you have it looks like a bad Caruso. And he goes, well, Jay, after scoring big twice with Brad Hutchins and Jay Cobb, GFT has scored a Twitter hat trick. And oh, dude, that is a killer scream. That is a good one.
Thank you, Tom.
And you hashtag Bad Caruso, and you hashtag This Is Hard. And then in your next one, you go, well, Jay, I don't always slice my drive, but when I do, I land in the thick cob hutch. And then again, appropriately, hashtag, yeah. And then you hashtag, where's Etchin' Man? I think Brad, if we can maybe ask Brad what the difference between a bad Caruso and an Etchin' Man are.
Yeah, please.
Okay, this could be like a tutorial on how to tweet the show.
Okay, yeah. Let me stop you before you do that. I'm glad you are going that way, but there are, like, I've been part of it for about, I don't know, a month and a half, 2 months or so.
Right.
And there are some weird, like, nuances. Like, if you miss like 2 days of the show, you don't know what the fuck they're talking about. You know, and I do sort of love that, but it does kind of suck because you're always playing catch up if you miss anything. But I don't know. I just love.
Well, there's sort of a curve for good tweets, and it's like, okay, a topic gets introduced, like some funky topic. I don't know, like what do we have on our podcast this week? We had the German doctor who took the pencil out of the guy's head after 15 years.
Wait, what? You had the doctor?
No, we don't have.
Oh, I thought you had. Sorry. Just, I fucking panicked. I'm like, you got the fucking guy? Asshole, I am. Jesus.
No, we're not that good. We're just little hacks too. But no, we had that story, right? Okay, so that got a few tweets, but that one might just spill into Monday and Tuesday, and just people shouting back to it as, you know, a little more time passes. People have a little more time to refine the humor. Maybe find connections with other things that they're talking about and distill it down into 140 characters minus, you know, hashtag JMore Sports minus at JMore37. So right. It's, you know, it depends on the topic. I mean, it's, what's the one, the monkey, you know, the monkey on the bicycle thing.
Okay. No, wait. Okay. That's one I missed. What the fuck was the original thing on that?
Go, Cobb. Tell him.
The original thing is, Maddie and Jay Moore were sitting in the radio offices doing the show, and between breaks, Maddie showed Jay this particular video. Now the video is taken in China, and it looks like it's in a small little arena. There's a small track in the middle of this arena, and what it is, there's, correct me if I'm wrong, Brad, but there's a unicyclist. There's like a guy on skates. Then
well, look, the important part is there's two monkeys on bicycles and there's a bear on a bicycle.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait. I don't even care about the story right now, but the fact that you two are really trying to piece it together like perfectly for me, you're like, no, wait a minute. I just love that.
It doesn't have to be so perfect. It's just there's two monkeys. There's a bear. Well. So they go around, and they start out kind of, you know, like those. You know, like Olympic bike racing where they start out all straggled across, you know, around the track for whatever reason, somebody's measured and whatever. So they start this race with, you know, one monkey here, and the bear somewhere behind them. And so the monkey goes around it on bicycles. And there's a bear riding a bicycle. Okay. I mean, that's pretty amazing in itself. So they go around a couple times, and then the monkey, one of the monkeys veers off of his lane and out to the outside of the track, right in front of the bear, crashes his bike into the bear, knocks the bear off his bike, and immediately the bear goes and eats the monkey.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so this is pretty funny, and they're describing it. So then, like, what really took it over the top is they bring Pat O'Brien in, you know, legendary sportscaster Pat O'Brien. And Pat O'Brien calls the monkey racing the bear.
So, oh, yeah, yeah. I did hear that part. That was fucking hilarious.
So then the best part of it is, you know, it's like, I don't know, late at night or something like that. And there's a fan site called jmoresports.com, which is run by a guy named Stephen Houston, who, he still runs the original Stucknut site, which is a Jim Rome fan site. He did this one as well. Anyway, JJ posts on there, somebody has got to make this into a, you know, got to overlay Pat's call onto the video. You know, he said, and he goes, I command somebody to do this. Okay, so, you know, it's just, I'm kind of a hack with that stuff. It takes me 20 minutes. So, you know, I took the 20 minutes minus about 10 and put it together and put it up. And then that drove a whole bunch of, you know, now we got the video of this and whatever, and that drove a whole bunch of comments on the show and stuff, and that was pretty cool.
Sweet.
But it still has, there's still room to mine that video for stuff. I mean, there's
oh, yeah, there's no such thing as a fucking dead horse around here. Like, you know, we're Apache Indians. We use everything. The fucking sinew, the bones, like, it's all going on.
But I think the thing is there's always original stuff to find with it too. You know, and all it's going to take is somebody to.
Well, that's what makes me sick about all you guys. It's like how the fuck? Okay, talk about the Ancient Man thing first before I ask you this other question. To like break that down, what's the difference between Bad Caruso and fucking Ancient Man shit?
You know what? It's really okay. So Good Caruso, Bad Caruso, Ancient Man shit. So Good Caruso is just Jay, and then it, you know, like does a setup and the pun needs to be the last word. If the pun is a second to last word, it like diminishes down to like 75% right away. And if the pun comes too far before the last word, that's a Bad Caruso. Okay. Now Etchant Man Caruso. Etchant Man is he actually lives in the same town that Jay Gray does. They're buddies. And I think he's actually like a real comedian. Okay.
Oh really?
So yeah. Well, at least as I understand it. So What he's managed to do is he's managed to put together some tweets that are like they're so over the top or they have some hidden meaning in them or they just intentionally miss the target and you can tell it, you know what the target is and you know where he missed and you can tell that it's intentional that he's just doing that to mess with everybody.
Right. Like it's so bad that he's going to get red.
Exactly. And it's purposely bad. And he does those and he's, you know, I mean, he's kind of got them by, right now I'd say he's got them just perfectly as far as, you know, being able to craft his stuff so they get read and then they get commented that it's bad. And that's not a bad strategy either. I mean, I think certainly my best moment on that show, I think I launched Jay into a rant over something. This was like the beginning of March, but I launched him into a rant about don't treat the show with that garbage, you know? And it's all tongue in cheek. I mean, he's
well,
not.
Wait, what was it? Do you remember?
Honestly, Cobb might remember. I honestly don't know. I was trying to think of it last night. Oh, it was like the end of it. It was like the end of a second hour, just at the very, very end. And he just, you know, he just took 40 seconds just to say, don't do this. This is not what we do this show. But of course it's what, it, you know, it doesn't get there to that point unless, of course, it's what you do this show about. Of course this gets read.
Yeah. Hey, you know what you should do?
Of course this makes.
Do you have Twitter up right now?
Yes, I do.
You should post that meeting to all those assholes and see if anybody else calls in. Where's that?
Can you do that?
Well, like if you just open tweet that the number and the join in thing, they can join in, right?
Well, why don't we try that? You want to see who joins in?
Hang on.
Why don't we do that a little bit later? Why don't you? Right. You wanted to hit about Great Blue Genie and stuff because that could be just total utter chaos, which is fine.
Oh, I'm all about it. Like I want as much of the actual experience during this. Like, and here's the best part. This is what I love about this the most. I have a and my fan base is growing. You know, show's not even a year old. but it's getting some traction, and like I have some very loyal people. Like I got this guy Jamie that he's so ride or die. Like he's gonna listen to your show and Jay's show, and more sports, like the whole thing, like just because of this podcast. So like I do have a little bit of that stuff, but the fact that like I'm gonna say 90% of the people that will just check this out will have no fucking clue what we're talking about at all.
right.
I fucking love that whole idea. So I'm gonna copy this here, and I will paste in a few minutes. But go ahead.
I've considered this like, you know, it's a niche of a niche market, and one of the taglines that I've picked up and I put into the podcast on a weekly basis is that our podcast is sports fan fiction. And I think that sums up exactly what you're talking about perfectly.
Yeah. It's just so bizarre how it got, you know, like, I don't know if this was their original intention or whatever. And like, what's funny about it, I even remember when, you know, comics like, you know, my first podcast that I would listen to was like Bill Burr or, you know, Mark Maron, obviously those ones. And like, for a long time, I remember back, Bill Burr's podcast is like 6 years old already. And I remember back at the beginning when Twitter came out, he's like, I'm not fucking, he's like, I don't know, titty fuck or whatever you call it. I'm not doing that. You know, and like now everybody's into it. And I even remember Jay going like, why is this important? And pretty much like, I don't know if it was Katz or if it was Maddie, but somebody was just like, it just is. Just fucking trust me.
Well, I remember him quitting it at one point. No, seriously. And I remember why he quit it too. Oh, that guy was a piece. But
wait, what happened?
That's Vic and NoCal from the old Jim Rome show that just absolutely went to Twitter and tore him up. And then actually posted it. When he filled in last August, he actually did this. It was just this epic 15-minute rant that built up step by step to tearing Vic and NoCal, just a complete new butthole. Okay. But you did not know it was going there until it got there. And then when you listen to it a second time and you just see that every sentence is just perfectly crafted to just bring you an inch closer, an inch closer, an inch closer, slam. You know, it was just, it was so epic. I'll post that again because I've got it somewhere.
Yeah, I do. And why aren't you guys friends with me on Facebook yet? Fucking cockheads, what are you doing?
I did like you on Facebook. Here's the thing, okay? I use Twitter for screwing around. I use Facebook so I can keep in touch with my sister and my niece, pretty much. That's
so I don't rate?
And,
I'm on the pay no mind
list? No, you're not. I mean, it's just, no, but I did give you a like. I guess I didn't friend you on Facebook, though. I mean, just find me and friend me, and I'll friend you back. It's cool. I mean,
I would, but I'm in jail right now because I do that too often, apparently, so.
You mean you're in Facebook jail? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, tell you what, tweet me your account name and I'll friend you. That's cool. That's not a problem at all.
Trevante Jaramillo. You don't need. What are you, come on. I'm hiding in plain sight. I'm out there, sir.
I'm trying to say, as prolific as I am on Twitter, I'm not that way on Facebook. That's all right.
I would ditto that for myself.
But I want people to like. I mean, the actual call to action would be, you know, they listen to this and they're like, "What the fuck?" Like, it sounds weird and sounds fun, but I don't know. You know. But I want them to figure it out, and then I'm going to share the shit out of your show. And I mean, I know at least 5 or 10 people that are definitely going to listen to your stuff just because of this. So,
very cool. No, we'll definitely return the favor on this. No, I mean, I'm just,
oh, I appreciate
what I,
that,
all
man.
I was saying is do not take offense that I haven't friended you on Facebook because it's like I friend nobody on Facebook.
It's a little late for that, but let's move on.
All right. So.
Hey, Cervantes, real fast, you said you were a big, big fan of Jay Moore and, like, the More Stories podcast, and he got you into this. Where's your feelings on Jim Rome? Because I've addressed this with Brad on a separate occasion, but I wanted to get your feelings on it.
Let me paint that a different way. My entire involvement in any kind of, like, sports talk radio or any of that type of shit was, like, the last time before I started listening to Jay Moore Sports was probably at least 10 years ago. When like I was, I used to love the NBA, and as soon as like the second or third year that Kobe was there, Iverson, just all the horseshit started, and like all the greats retired, I just tapped out. And I used to listen to SportsCenter constantly. I listened to Rome every once in a while, but After I tapped out on like mainstream stuff, I started watching UFC, and like I'm a big pro wrestling fan. Like I love when he's like, well, "Who's your favorite pro wrestler?" Stone Cold Steve Austin. God damn it! But I mean, for me, that's where all of it ended, and like I'm very happy to be back. You know, because I really enjoy the show. Like besides the tweets and all that other shit, like I just love listening to it, and it's ruining my life. Like. It really is like fucking. It's destroying everything. We'll get back to how that show is ruining my life. But I don't have an opinion on the Rome thing because I have no idea about it at all.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm more in your camp, and Brad knows more about Rome than I do. But I would listen to the Dan Patrick Show, which where I live comes on right before Jay Moore, and I never had anything to listen to after his show was over. And then when Jay took over for Rome, that's when I started really listening to Jay. And same thing for you that happened to me, it just completely took over.
Well, what was the Rome thing anyway? Like, can you break that down real quick, or? Real quick, I don't know.
Brad, what was he like? He kind of just ran his course, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, so, I mean, he'd been, you know, he'd been broadcasting for 20 years. Right. And he's had his show, I think, for 18 or 19 years or something like that. He became famous because he had a segment on Fox Sports West. Was it called The Last Word or whatever? Where he had Jim Everett on, and he used to call Jim Everett Chris Everett on his radio show.
Yep.
Right? And he called him it to his face and flipped, you know, Jim Everett flipped the table and stood over him like he was going to kill him. And, you know, of course, that launched his career. His radio show has always been, or had always been, I would say, very edgy, very, very subversive, downright disrespectful to athletes who deserve to be disrespected, which is very new in sports talk radio. Nobody did that. They were all a bunch of ball washers, or you know, they'd cover for them or whatever else.
Right.
So it's just very, very different. And I would say the last 3 or 4 years since Travis Rogers, who was his longtime show producer. He left and was replaced, and he actually has a show now, 9 o'clock PDT opposite Jay's on Yahoo Sports, and I usually listen to that on podcast. That aside, since the new guy took over, it's been diluted down. It's been stupid. It's been a lot of sound drops and, you know, silly effects and this and that. You know, more like morning zoo radio. They don't get controversial. They don't get as edgy. He's been trying, you know, he got a deal with Showtime and got a deal with CBS Sports. And it seemed like at the end of last year, you know, basically spent all his time on the TV show, and the radio show was an inconvenience. You know, it's like, oh, you know, 9 o'clock, you come on, Jim Rome's supposed to be on. Oh, he's not in today. And he decided not come in today until 10 minutes ago. And here somebody's filling in. You know, it was just like he didn't care, you know, and I think that.
Well, it's like Stern. I mean, like, there's no fill-in, but, like, he's only live, like, 2 or 3 days a week, you know, at this point.
Really?
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, I think in the sports world, you know, you sort of expect if somebody's going to, you know, like do a show about it, you really do expect they put a lot of effort in and they're always doing new stuff. And
well, you can't really, you know, like, you can't really, you know, sleep on sports. Like, it's a constantly moving organism. You
right,
know? Like, if you're reporting on it, you have to be there and do it. You know?
Right. If you take a week off and you have a, you know, sort of a topical show that's, you know, also very, very funny and, you know, sort of establishes a track record of, you know, making fun of what needs to be made fun of, and you take a week off, it's like, okay, well, you've just left, you know, 2% of the year's material on the floor. You know, we can't use it now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you're asking me my opinion on it. Like, what do you think about that?
Well, I think it sucked the last end of the, you know, the last couple of years of it sucked. The last 3 months of it were terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
It was like, I did not know what to listen to at 9 a.m. I really didn't. I mean, it was just, it was
okay, let me ask you guys this. Are you guys both a couple of, like, lonely psychos that can't be alone with your thoughts? So it's just fucking radio and podcasts just pumped into your head 24/7?
Oh, I'd say absolutely not. I mean, I'm a software developer and I work on a lot of stuff, and it's a very good distraction to have. It just keeps You know, like having a few things to do makes you more productive, believe it or not. My productivity hours are probably best between, you know, when the show's on. That's when I get the most done.
Yes.
As weird as that is.
Well, and then, okay, yeah. let me tell you how some other stuff. Like, you know, we have I work in an optical shop, and it's me and another guy that we run the lab, finishing lab, right? And we don't have the radio station here, so I throw up my iPad up there, the iHeartRadio, and we turn it on, and like, everybody in the whole office loves it. And I'm ruining everybody's life by yelling, like literally screaming in people's faces that it's positivity every day. Like, cause like shit's kind of been a little weird at our office, you know, like really busy and some expansions and stuff like that. And people have like kind of a shit attitude, but like, even if you hate me and you want to punch me in the face, if I get right up to your nose and I yell Positivity Thursday in your face, you're going to laugh a tiny bit. So
that's funny. If you guys all enjoy it, that's great. I mean, that just, you know, that leads to some conversations and stuff. In fact, you know, just segueing into something else, you know, one of the funny things about this is okay, early on, okay, there are a few winners and stuff, and, you know, we started tweeting back and forth even after the show, and we started, like, I think we all started, like, congratulating each other on a win and stuff because it sort of seemed like the right thing to do. And then it's like a match just sparked, okay?
Right.
And then we're, you know, it's just like funny shit that just, you know, somebody come up with some funny thing or see some funny thing, you know, and you just tweet it and comment it and stuff. And it's the funniest shit happened after the show. And in fact, this is what I wanted to get back to was, you know, when we went and saw Jay Moore last night, and I got to talk to him after the show and the meet and greet and talk to him after that and stuff. And one of the things I wanted, you know, I asked him, you know, about like, I guess he asked me, how many times have you won? And I said, well, I've won once back in January. He says, no way. And I go, yeah, just once back in January. He's all, well, that doesn't seem right. I'm all, well, no, it's all right. It's like, you know, I throw what I can out there. You know, if it sticks, it sticks. And like he said, you know, that's the thing. The right strategy is just to throw the right amount of tweets to win it. You know, maybe four or five, do four or five. If they're all strong, that wins it. They're so overwhelmed there. But here's the thing. You know why they're overwhelmed? They're overwhelmed because, in a certain sense, I don't really think that most of us who tweet the show regularly actually are really tweeting the show when we're tweeting the show. We're tweeting this sideshow.
Yeah,
and
the sideshow
is you got, you know, you got Great Blue Dini, you got Jay Gray, you got French Fried Phil, you got ID Favors, of course you got Drew Nakovich, and I know he's part of this too. He's not always tweeting the show. He is, you know, he's trying to lay down some stuff that'll just make us all bust a gut. But that's really what we're doing. And, you know, Maddie looks at this and he thinks we're all tweeting this show, you know, with all these tweets, and he picks some and somebody wins and, you know, we all congratulate him and everything else. I don't think anybody really cares.
Okay. Let me tweet Jay. Hey, just so you guys know, the Twitter hat trick contest is not for you anymore, so go fuck yourself.
No. What's funny is I tried to kind of say, hey, it's taken on this life of its own that's like beyond the show to him. I tried to explain it just in a sentence, you know, in a couple of seconds, and I was going nowhere. So I don't think they quite have gotten monster.
He addresses it how, you know, like maybe not as its own entity. Like he, okay, as much as Jay has maybe changed or whatever, I do feel that he's still that kind of like a bit of an arrogant dick. So, like, even if you're like, hey, look at what we got going on over here, he's like, yeah, you wouldn't if it wasn't for me, so go fuck yourself, you know, like,
I'd agree with you there, and I think he's absolutely right. I mean, it's, you know, I think without him it could carry on, and it would, because you just got a bunch of, you know, hilarious freaking people that, you know, are pretty damn entertaining and entertain themselves, and
let me ask you this, guys.
Hilarity. Okay.
Let me ask you this. How the fuck is it so good and so prolific? Like, don't any of these guys like burn out and fucking have a heart attack in the middle of the night? Or like,
yeah, we had one who did. We had one who did.
What?
An almost winner. No, I mean, we did. I mean, we had one who just, we've had a few who quit. In fact, okay, so here's who's quit. Magic Uno. He was one of the early ones. He quit because,
well, he got blocked or something, didn't he?
Right, so that story is real, real short here, is Mike in Vegas created this fake account,
Kim Genovese,
when you, right, which is supposed to be this sports chick that tweeted the show, so she wins.
Shut
one
that
day.
Goddamn dog up! Sorry.
So
It's already outside. It's trying to get in. It's trying to get into TFT.
I just know that Brad is having like a mini anxiety attack in the back of his own head.
Hey, as long as it's not my dog, I'm good. So you know, she wins it one day, and then of course Mike announces who it is. You know, being the smartass that he is, and everybody thinks, "Oh, this is funny." And then it's like, okay, well, now we can make fun of Maddie for getting catfished right? Well, no. See, that's not what happened. What JJ did is JJ turns it around and calls Mike a pervert. Okay, which of course is just...
Well, yeah, because he was saying something about, like, isn't this what pedophiles do? They act like they're somebody else.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But this is what comedians do, is they look at, like, you got to look at what's available, the material there, and then you take an angle on that material and stick to that angle and mine it for what it's worth. Well, he took an angle that was different than what everybody expected he'd take, or everybody thought he'd take.
Of course.
And so then Magic Uno gets offended by this. And then, all right, so here's the other thing about Jay Moore. Like, you know, he does, you know, he does the podcast, and you know he does shows, and you know he does this radio show and stuff like that. And each of these things is a freaking full-time job for, like, a normal person. But he's doing, like, three of these. Right. And he's balancing it all, and he's like, dude has so much energy. I mean, I don't know if you've met him at a show or something like that. I cannot believe the energy the dude has. I mean, I can project energy for short periods of time, but even not that much as he does, and then certainly not 24/7, right?
Right.
So he's away at a gig. I forget if it was in Denver or something like that, but he's away at a gig, and like 4 a.m, he sees the people on Twitter are criticizing how he handled that thing, right? And so, boom, everybody blocked. Everybody.
Wait,
you know, so we're all talk.
Everybody but me.
Did he address it, or what did he say?
No, it was just 4 a.m. He just blocked us all. We all wake up and we find out we're blocked. Yeah.
He didn't have to say anything.
Right.
So wait a minute. You guys were all participating in that, you know, kind of busting his ass, and he's just like, ah, fuck all you guys.
Actually, I would say that there were probably 2 or 3 people who were participating in that. And then most everybody else was either included, like, you know, you get your at in their message, or maybe you're saying, I think I actually said, guys, this is, you don't want to go here. This isn't right. You know,
what was being said, though?
It's just, well, you know, he shouldn't call Mike a pedophile. That's just wrong. That's just this show, blah, 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 blah. We shouldn't do things this way. It was mostly Magic Uno doing this shit, you know.
And some other people saying,
what's his problem? Is he a fucking pedophile?
He's
like trying to defend himself? What the fuck?
The thing is, it's the dude's show. I mean, it's like, you know, okay, so here's the thing. I wasn't even going to talk about this. We get a
few
people.
Yes, you were, because I was
going to
get out of you.
You're right. we get a few people who try to tell us how to run our show. This is true. I won't name any names, but it happens.
Wait, okay? your podcast, you mean?
Our stupid little podcast that gets, you know, 50 or 60 listens a week. We get people who try to tell us how to run our show. It puts my head through the fucking roof.
And guess what? Like, let me tell you this. Like, you guys don't know me very well, but like, we will know each other really well, because we're gonna do this again, because this is fucking hysterical. I love it. If I ever get, like, I've had one like severe hater, but every once in a while I get, you know, something like, well, the last podcast had like a humming sound, and if you had you know, X amount of fucking software, guess what? I'm gonna turn up something that makes even more of a humming sound. And I'm going to put that in. I'm going to leave it in, because you're being an idiot. Do not criticize what I'm doing. I book this. I host this. I attempt to be entertaining. And I give it to you for free. If you don't like the fucking hum, kill yourself.
I think there are people who can give constructive criticism constructively. And then there's most everybody else who's just a dick. Okay? And
Pretty much.
Well, like, what do they tell you guys? Like,
I'll just say I think if anybody listens to this, they'll kind of know, oh wow, maybe that's not the right thing to do. But you know what? My point is not about us. Okay, my point is about our good friend Jay Moore, which is
Jesus. All
right. That dude has a lot on his plate. He has a lot of energy. When you flood his timeline with crap, okay, or you flood his timeline with negativity. Dude does not want to see it. I mean, look, you don't do this stuff because you thrive on people telling you the better parts of what you suck at, okay? You do this stuff so that eventually a few people think you're awesome, and maybe a lot of people think you're awesome, and then maybe you just get a you get a, you know, if you, you try to get a good feeling of what you do, but, you know, a little a lot of positive reinforcement, people genuinely enjoying what you do, really makes your day and really makes it worth it.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know? And I mean, of course, he's making a lot more money at this than any of us are. But, you know, money sometimes isn't always, you know, you can get the checks and people can just be constantly telling you you suck, you're a hack, you're this, you're that, and it doesn't give you a lot of satisfaction. You know, the satisfaction really comes from, you know, are you affecting people in a really, really positive way? And
right.
When negative people get on and just start harping over shit, it's not right. And, you know, the thing is, you got creative control of your show, too. You know, I'm not going to tell you how to run your show. You're not going to tell me how to run my show. And the last thing anybody should do is tell a guy like Jamie how to run his show. He's obviously figured out how to do it and stay on.
Yeah. And like, that's what makes me nuts about people. Like, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's just this age we live in where everybody, you know, gets a say and, you know, they have access to you and
you
all
know,
that kind of stuff.
So let me even expand this more to my, you know, like,
all right, why don't you just fucking host this thing? Jesus.
I will. I deal with a lot of software developers. There's a particular software development tool I use. By the way, that was Monk. That's my dog playing the drums in the back. Particular software development tool I use is a community of developers around it. They're releasing a new version right now. There are people who are contributing to the beta test as it is, who have, you know, special access to pre-release versions so they can get their business together and they can know what's coming and all this other stuff, who are like, something doesn't work exactly the way they want to, and they get fucking indignant about it. And they call, you know, they say, well, you guys obviously don't care about this. Well, okay, wait a minute. If I'm the company that's doing this, and I'm giving you pre-release access to my stuff, and I'm soliciting your opinions on this stuff, why are you telling me that I don't care about what I'm doing?
Why are you fucking attacking me, you asshole?
Yeah. What does that buy you? You know, other than you're just labeling yourself as a giant dick.
Well, no, you know what? I think it is a thing that, like, you do have to event. Well, okay. First of all, if you're one of those people that thinks that your opinion matters and needs to be heard, then you need to be told that it doesn't. Because if you think
right,
that
you
automatically,
need to get your own podcast.
Exactly. No, but if you're one of those guys that thinks like, hey, I follow Jay Moore, I'm going to say that his wife is weird looking and he's kind of a cunt. And like, if you think that you have that ability to do that, then nobody's told you that nobody gives a shit what you think. And also, you've never thought about that. Like, maybe that doesn't need to be said, you know? And that's one thing that kind of blows me away about Twitter. Like, I left Twitter on the table for a long time as far as the podcast goes. But, I mean, it's become very fruitful for me. Like, I mean, you guys, you should really do yourself a favor and follow Kitten of Chaos 76. She runs an MMA podcast and she's fucking hysterical. But like, Twitter's really great, like, to a point. But then there are some people that it's like, why do you even get up in the morning? Like, who bought you that cell phone that you can just project your fucking shit attitude on everybody? You know, like, I don't know. It is a weird thing. Like, I'm guilty of it too. I mean, I'll read something and I'm like, you fucking, and I start typing something and I'm like, nobody's gonna care. Like, he's not gonna respond. Like,
I think it's a wonderful tool. It's not the end all be all by any means, but it's a great and fantastic tool, and that's what Twitter is to me.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, just like Facebook is or Facebook was, and just like MySpace before that, you know, it's all just improvements and they all kind of have their special needs. But Twitter, the great thing about Twitter, and I think what you're seeing with the Jay Moore Sports Show and with our podcast is that everything can happen in real time. And there's like not really a delay on it. And that's why you get those guys who are so quick, those guys who are so funny, they're getting credited for that, and people can see that, like, they're the first one to say, like, this joke about this particular situation. And it really lends itself to a good show, and things can happen at a quicker pace. And like I said, that things happen in real time. And
that's another reason that I stopped doing it, though, because I started panicking, like, because I wasn't able to watch the timeline. Like, I'm still trying to work, you know. And I'm like, you know, did I say something that looked something like what somebody else said? And I'm like, you know what? If I can't, like, listen and pay attention and, like, come up with something good, I'm just not going to play. I'm just going to listen and fucking laugh, and that's it. So,
I think there's a lot of people who might take a day here and a day there. You know, I think I find myself probably on being a little more active on Tuesdays and Fridays just because it's the right day to, you know, it's just a good, in my workflow, it's a good day to do it.
Right.
Maybe a little less on those others, but you know, still I'm throwing a lot of crap at the wall, and I'm going to change my, I'm changing the way I do this a little bit too, you know, in the future too. But,
well, so are you guys kind of just like laying back in the pocket and letting things happen so you guys can talk about it for your show, or are you still going to get in there?
No, not at all. Not me.
All right. I mean, they just do. I don't know. What are you doing, Cobb? I'd answer that completely different.
Well, since we started the podcast like a month ago, the only thing I'm doing different in my tweeting strategy is I email you tweets, you know, because I don't know. Travanti, when Brad and I get ready for the podcast, you know, we have a list of emails where we go, okay, this tweet is in, this tweet is out, this tweet is in, this tweet is in, we're going to topic this, and blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to tweeting gym or sports, I still tweet the same way I did before I started doing the podcast. And I don't know if you can hear that, but there's an ice cream truck driving by. And it completely got me salivated for some bottle rockets, but...
Nice. Bomb Pop Jr.
I don't know, something. Snow cones. Yeah. I need to get like a Mickey Mouse ice cream or something.
There you go.
But my strategy is I tweet when I can because I drive an ambulance for a living. And if I'm driving, I have Jay Moore Sports full blast on the radio inside my ambulance, whether I have a patient or not. They're going to listen to what I have to listen to because I'm the driver and I'm in charge.
Oh, shit.
But if I'm posted somewhere and if I don't have a call, if my services aren't needed, I sit there and I find a shaded parking lot. I turn, you know, I keep the radio on and I pull my phone out and I start tweeting. And sometimes I have mental notes of something, of a topic that was like 45 minutes old or something that was that passed, you know, like that's like maybe two or three topics old. And I tweet it just because I need to get it out of my system. I don't know. Sometimes they're good takes. Sometimes they're not so good takes. But I'm just going to tweet it because really I don't care. It's not because to Maddie's credit, it's not my job to go through these tweets. It's Maddie's job. So right. I just flood him because, you know, if it's going to get read, it's going to get read.
That's another common thing that goes on. It's just, you know, it seems like every week or every 2 weeks is a flare up of, oh, somebody didn't read my tweet. Maddie doesn't care. Maddie doesn't know how to do his job, you know?
That guy does exceptional work. On that show,
there's a thousand of these things coming through every day. He gets to pick 10 or 15 of them. You know, chances are, even if you're really, really incredible, you're not going to get anything read just because of the numbers there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you got to be super incredible to get read, and then you got to be super incredible, consistent, just the right amount, just the right tone to win. It's not competition's too stiff.
What I love about him though is that he also has that little bit of him that can find like the real show stopping horse shit, and he still throws that in there too, you know, like one of my favorite things, and it's a, you know, stand up I'm gonna punch your little tiny dog head.
Sorry.
Sorry, quoting more stories. Dog lover. Oh, fuck. Now I forgot what I was going to say.
Someone throw him a bone. Someone needs to throw him a bone or get him a treat or something.
fuck. Now I forgot. What was I talking about? The show stuff. Oh.
We're talking
like,
about
stand up like stand-up and stuff like that. Like, there's nothing better than just a joke that just eats shit and just falls flat. Like, and not, okay, there's one thing better. When it's addressed and highlighted and made to fucking marinate in the awfulness, like I fucking love that whole thing, you know.
That's a humor technique.
Yeah, yeah, love it.
Hey, I can't remember what it was. Jay actually did that in his show yet last night, and he floated one out there. He floated one out there that nobody got, and then like, you know, he goes on to the next joke, and then he comes back like 10 seconds later and says, "Nobody got that, did you?" You're thinking back. Okay, what the hell was that? Yeah, you're right. I didn't get that. But what was it? You know. And then it's like a couple minutes later, it hits you. You're like, oh shit, that's funny.
Yeah. You know? Well, he's really into that whole like that dog whistle thing that he, you know, him and Colin Quinn talked about. Okay, here's another thing. I'm pretty excited because I've been in conversations with Colin Quinn on Twitter. You know, it's not a big deal, but just thought I'd throw that out there.
I'm impressed.
Just kidding, Jesus. But like that whole thing where like I really feel like he does love that stuff where like it only lands on, you know, a fraction of the room, but then he takes mm-hmm. that idea maybe a little too far where it's like, there's like 7 degrees of separation from, you know, what I'm talking about and why it's funny, you know, and you know, maybe people don't pick up on it, you know. I get in trouble with that all the time. Like I try to be funny, but I feel like I get lost in that too. Where I'm like, no, that thing I said a while ago, and then that other thing, no, just forget it. You know.
You know what the two rules? There's two rules of funny. Okay, one is
listen up, people.
Just be happy. You know what? Just be happy and project that you're happy. Okay, and right. that's half the battle. And the second thing is entertain yourself. Right? If you find it funny, then you'll tune it to find so somebody else can find it funny. You'll do the work to do that. And yeah, there's work. You'll do that work. And eventually you'll settle into your groove, you'll figure out what works, and you'll be funnier.
Well, let me commend you guys first of all. Let's bring the fucking undercarriage wash back over to you guys. The fact that you guys do any kind of show prep, meaning like you actually sift through the tweets yourself just like what Maddie would do, that gets paid to do it and you don't. And you bring all that same paid. That same energy to your podcast, like that will be rewarded. Once people figure out like the whole, you know, chain of command on this thing and find you guys, like they're going to appreciate that, what you do.
I feel you're absolutely right about that. And I also feel that is, it's not one or two episodes away. It's probably a few months away, but I do feel that's what's while we're waiting for that to happen, while we're waiting for, you know, the gates to be lifted and for people to come in and discover us, we're sitting here honing our craft.
Is he helping you guys out at all? Like, you actually talk to him. Like, is he like into it at all? Or
He actually liked my interview with I Do Favors For You. He loved the introduction. In fact, he told me that last night. He loved the introduction to that. He thought that was really funny the way we did that. You know, and that was a scripted thing that Favors and I came up with, you know, to make fun of the, you know, how he and Funny How are like the same guy, but they're not, you know. But
right. Okay. Well, what's the goddamn website so I can fucking put it on Facebook for you guys?
Oh yeah. Okay. I should tell you about this. It's called yogurteater.com.
Oh, that's all right? Nice. So the that's, name that's of nice this, for everybody.
Yeah. So what's the Cobb? Tell them what the name's about.
Yogurt Eater.
Yeah.
Yogurteater.com. Yogurt Eater stems from a story in a news article that were, they tested yogurt on rats or mice. I should say lab mice. And there's a, you know, there's group A and group B. Group A doesn't get any yogurt. Group B does get yogurt. And group B has discovered that they have more swagger, that their testicles are bigger.
And they walk with mouth swagger.
They walk with mouth swagger. So
what the fuck?
Lesson here is, if you want to rule the world, you got to start eating some motherfucking yogurt.
Jesus
yeah.
Christ!
But there's a metaphor in that. There's a big metaphor in that too. It's like people who ate their yogurt. So, yeah.
Mm.
Now
let me just say this. Let me just say this, Cobb. I'm looking at the website right now, and it, you know, it's very, you know, clean, you know, font and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, it's a terrible design. Okay.
This is what I love about it. It says yogurt eater, walk with a swagger, and then your face, you know, like your Twitter, Abby. It's just, I don't know, it just seems to make sense. Like, you know, fucking you're like, yeah, I'm cool, my hair's slicked back.
I guess that's the video that's up top there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so the covers for this video, I guess we took he had a picture in front of, what was that picture in front of, Cobb?
That's by USC.
Right.
It's like Southern Cal.
It's got this huge "You Are Here" sign behind it. So, you know, my terrible Photoshop skills, which are really, they're hackish. You know, I kind of cut them out, and we've been putting it on different backgrounds. So I try to line the "you are here" sign with something that you could anchor to, like "here's a hockey net." And then they do the same with me, and then we put a different background. So last week, you know, it was all about hockey and Jonathan Quick, so we put that. This week, I haven't really decided what the cover is going to be, but we'll do something interesting.
Well, thanks for breaking down the reasoning behind why you fucking made that cover. I don't know who asked, but...
Yeah, don't you even care. I know.
All right, we're doing... Oh, man, we're doing really well here. And I'm not trying to, you know, tie this up or anything like that, but my good buddy Rob O'Leary, which I don't know if you've gotten into my shit too far, but he was one of the first guys that, like, we did the actual Friday Night Metal show together. It was his show. He kind of let me come in. I became like third banana. And when I started doing the podcast, like, he's been on more than anybody. He's been on like 10 or 12 times. He's super funny. He's
cool.
He sings for Ancient Wind, a battle metal band. And you should check them out on Facebook. And then he's also a stand-up too. And he's a stand-up, but he hasn't really had a shot at like really doing anything. He has performed at the Comedy Works, but it was like the little contest thing they have where he gets like a 3-minute set. But he's really funny, and he's on his way over here, so I'm just kind of giving a heads up for you guys.
Oh, very cool. Well, just tell us to shut up when you're ready.
If he shows up soon enough, he might fucking hang out with us. So, this is something that I was thinking about earlier today. I mean, obviously, we're talking about terrestrial radio, you know, positivity, you know, clean comedy and all that kind of stuff. Like, do you guys ever sit back and go, like, can you imagine if this shit was on, like, Sirius XM, where it was, like, explicit? Like, do you ever think that? Or because that to me, that's another layer that makes this so interesting, is, like, it's continuously funny, and it's completely clean. Like, of course, there's innuendo and all that kind of stuff, but there's no, you know what I mean? Blue at all. Like,
I think part of our brand that we want is we want to have a brand that is clean enough, you know, so that if for one way or another in a few months we get good enough at this and we get a good enough audience, we turn it into something that could be on radio, that's not so bad. But I'll tell you this, I think if we were like really, really dirty, it would be or even just, you know, scratch the layer of dirty, it would be something that people say, hey, we got to clean this up before we could put them on another level.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Cobb would agree with me. That's a very conscious decision on our parts.
That decision was made before you guys. I'm not even talking about your podcast. I mean, like, the entire thing. Like, can you imagine if J-More Sports was explicit?
Well, yeah. Listen to his. I mean, the best thing is like listen to his radio show in the morning and then go attend his comedy show in the evening and just think, how freaking nuts would you have to be to keep that thick line between what you do at your comedy show and 12 hours earlier, what you were doing on the radio.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. Like, I'm a big fan of Opie and Anthony. And, you know, back a few years ago, they were doing half of the show on terrestrial and then half on XM. So, like, the first hour or two, I think it was 2 hours, had to be completely clean. And they got very good at, like, you know, speaking in code and, you know, doing all this other kind of stuff so they didn't get in trouble. But then, you know, they make the walkover and then they start the second half of the show and it's off the wall. And I'm like, how do you – I feel like – I guess I'm pretty good at that too. Like, depending on the podcast guest, you made me feel great. Okay.
Oh, another human soundboard. That's great.
Depending on who it is, like, I obviously will temper my language or whatever. Like, you know, some of my guests are actually, like, you know, just civilians that have, like, a hardship story or whatever. So, you know, I'm not going to, hey, what's going on? What's with all the fucks and titties and ass or whatever?
Well, I think there's an art to keeping it clean. I think there's nuance there.
And, yeah.
A good example, you know, something I grew up on is Howard Stern also. And right. And you were talking about guys, you know, how Opie and Anthony were talking in codes, and Howard Stern did that too. Like, you would listen in the morning, and, like, every other word out of the guest's mouth would be effing, effing, effing. Because you can literally say effing on the radio, mm-hmm. and there's no problem with that. But once you start talking about, you know, like, what fornication is and going motherfucker, motherfucker, that's going to get cut out. of a regular, and then you have, you know, Howard Stern continued fights with the FCC, and if you've watched Private Parts, you know what he went through.
Yeah.
But personally, I always appreciated that nuance of the speaking in codes, of how to keep it clean, how to create a double innuendo or a double entendre, where someone who is like in the car with their kids could laugh and get a good giggle out of something like that, like out of a very adult subject, and have it go over the heads of the child sitting in the car, you know, if they're going to school or going to work or going to camp or something, and having that work and having that, you know, and having that stay on the radio and having it not get creepy or having the parent not have to have that conversation right then and there, because they're just going to 9-to-5 job or something. This is something that they don't want to have to deal with right then and there. And there's like, I always appreciated that skill.
Yeah, no, that's another thing that blows me away about the entire idea, is that it is that funny. And like, I mean, I've cried laughing at work at this show, you know. I mean, it's that multi-layered and ridiculous, that it, you know, and it, right. The fact that it is clean, it just blows me away. So what do you think about it,
Brad? Yeah, well, if you don't want clean, I always go to more stories. And I, you know, because I don't need to be clean 24 hours a day.
Right.
But like, there's sometimes where I want to put on HBO, I want to put on Showtime, and I want to put on the More Stories podcast.
Hang on a second.
And
two last questions, real quick.
Actually, just
go ahead.
Oh wait, one more thing on this.
Yeah.
I do drop a fuck bomb on this episode that's coming out later tonight.
Ooh, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Jesus. Oh my God. Are you guys on iTunes yet, or are you going to keep it all on the website?
Oh, website for now. I'm going to actually go podcast a couple weeks. It's just a production thing, and it's just, you know, wanting to have something that works quick enough. So I'm experimenting with Libsyn, and we'll be there very soon.
I like Libsyn but I don't know. I like the fact that you get apps and that type of stuff, but I don't know. I didn't love it. I thought it was weird. Like I tried to jump from Podbean to Libsyn, and I was like, this is fucking, like, as much as I hated Podbean right that second, I was like, this Libsyn is bullshit. Like, if you have a guy that, like, can handle it for you, like, probably you're the guy, I imagine, Cobb. Brad, sorry.
Brad's the guy. Yeah.
I mean, if you got one guy that, like, does it and doesn't have to worry about the rest of it, it's probably okay. But for me, it was, the interface was too weird, and I don't know. I already had too much content on one side
I'll definitely take a look at Podbeam then.
Yeah, I would look at it.
I'll definitely take a look.
Or, you know, cool. I can start a network, and you guys can just be under me, and then once you get huge, you can jump off. So,
don't offer that, because I may just take you up on that just to piss you off.
Yeah, it'd be like 2 weeks, and I'm like, fuck, you guys are destroying me. And you're like, yeah, we know, jump ship, assholes.
That's why we put you in charge.
Okay, two last questions. What for each of you guys, like, what's your favorite, like, your favorite bit? Wait. Don't answer that. Think about that for a second. I wanted to ask something before that.
Okay.
What's your favorite, like, do you guys both listen to More Stories?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for the most part. I probably 70% of the episodes I get.
Okay, well, which is your favorite one, each of you?
Well, without a doubt, it's Barry Katz. And it's just because it's very cerebral and it's very business focused, and I learn more about people and what people want, you know, both in, you know, this media business, but also just it applies to software as well, you know, what people are looking for and how to, like, connect with them and you know, sales and things like that. I learn more from his podcast. I've listened to some of his podcasts six and seven times.
Yeah, the Get a Helmet one is the best one. For anybody that is trying to do something, or, you know, like, you have a project you're trying to work on, it starts out with the story about how Nick Swartzen wrote Malibu's Most Wanted. And then it talked about Rain Pryor and Whitney Cummings and like all the people, like they wouldn't have anything. They wouldn't have their one man show. They wouldn't have their movie. They wouldn't have their TV show if they didn't fucking write it, do it for themselves, and make it happen. You know?
Yep.
And I bet if you look at the timeline of that, I bet you that podcast probably came out like 2 or 3 months before I started doing my podcast. Cause that was when I was like, oh, right. That's why nobody cares about me, because I haven't fucking done anything for them to care about, you know?
Right. Well, isn't that how we all get started? I mean, I'd done an interview and Cobb hit me up and he said, dude, we got to do a podcast. I'm like, you know, I've been thinking about it for a while. And then it's like, okay, we jump in and we do it.
Yeah. We got to do it because I was telling Brad before we did it, like, there's a niche here. There's a void that needs to be filled. And if we do a podcast, it'll fill that void.
Hey, you know, and getting back to an earlier point, you know, about people telling you how to do things. You know what? Most people won't tell you how to do things, and they won't compete with you either. And the people who tell you how to do things, they don't got the energy to compete with you. And that's when you kind of realize that when you pick a niche and you do it well and you defend it well, and you just do it, that's 99% of the battle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the only energy they have is what it took for them to be like, you're not doing it right. Ugh.
Right.
and they're like, you know what? You might be right, but you didn't convince me, so fuck off.
Well, we've gotten some of that from a guy who gave up doing it. So, you know, it's, yeah.
Who?
Good point. I take it as validation. I'm not naming names.
What are you? Know. What? We're talking about Jay Moore Sports right now, and you're going to go, there's this guy, but.
Yeah, right. This is
fucking put your name on it, dude. What? Come on.
There's this guy. It's all good. You can figure out who he is by listening to our podcast.
Oh, God damn it. Now I got to do research. All right. Fair enough. So you both say Barry Katz or?
Oh, I'm more inclined to like the musical guest.
All right.
Like my favorite one recently was David Lee Roth and then the Josh Homme one.
Yeah, those are really both great.
But my dark horse, oh, I should have said that. My
it's fucking racist, dude.
My favorite one of late is actually the George Wallace Moore story.
Oh my God, that's so
Vegas
funny.
Doing that together.
I don't know enough food for me.
Are you going to give me a sandwich? Hey, do you want a sandwich? Hey, you need to go back. How long does it take to get a sandwich? And I was like, holy cow, they're totally like living real life. It's what you are is you're just eavesdropping on them, like hanging out in Vegas before each of them have to do a show.
Yeah,
because you know,
well, that's what my whole show is
like. Flamingo
like,
show.
The fact that you get to sit and be part of a hang that you never would have known about. Yeah. That's the whole reason that I started doing this. Because like, dude, if you go to like the early days of my podcast, like that's when I couldn't book anybody. Like, what's a podcast? Like, what's it for? What do you mean microphone? Yeah. Whatever. I mean, it was all just like us sitting around, like drinking and telling like, you know, fucking pregnancy scare stories and, you know, just shit like that. And like, I don't know that it has any like actual value, but I defy you to not enjoy it and laugh at it a little bit.
I've caught mostly some of the recent stuff and I'd say it's damn interesting, you know? You don't
well,
even
okay.
know any
now,
people.
Let me
by the end of it, you know who they are, you know?
Yeah, well, let me say this, though. Like, there was a point where my show kind of took a different turn, and I'm kind of just going with it, you know? But I'll tell you two guys, because I know you'll check it out. If you don't listen to any more of my shows, which I don't want you to, like, I mean, if you do, good, but whatever. Go seek out number 22, and it's the one with Ancient Wind. It's the entire band. It's me and four other dudes. We're all buddies. And, I mean, there's nothing was left on the table. And I defy you to not laugh your tits off at that one. And it has no social redeeming value whatsoever, I don't think. It's fucking terrible, but it's so funny. And, like, nobody
hey,
ever...
You know something I've noticed about a lot of good podcasts that are, like, sort of group podcasts or hangout podcasts is they sort of show you how to be funny. You know, they just demonstrate it by doing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's very valuable. Very valuable.
Good point. All right. sorry.
Thank you very much.
I'm getting all jerky here. I just love the whole idea of, like, you know, just getting to be in on that hang that you never would have been a part of, you know? No reason that you either you guys or me should have any access to Barry Katz's entertainment brain, you know? Mm-hmm. But we do, and how cool is that, you know? All right, one last question. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, most people, like, even, like, 5 years ago, but, like, 10 or 15 years ago, to get insight like that, you would have to be, you know, a working level comedian or a comedic actor, probably, you know, busting your balls for, you know, a good, like, you know, 10 years, you know, working the side job, working the day job and trying to do gigs at night or something like that, just to get a meeting with a guy like Barry Katz.
Right.
And here he is, you know, Jay Mohr puts him on his Mohr stories.
Well, praise Jay for
access. Yeah.
Yeah. Praise Jay for just even getting started with that. I mean, it's funny, you know, because when he started doing the podcast, it was like right after Gary Unmarried, or it was when it was on the Skids, or what was it? It was about then, right?
Yeah.
Years ago?
That seems about right. You know, it's like he just wanted to reinvent himself, and so he just did this. And, you know, I still don't think he knows the engineering end of it. I spoke with a guy who does some of the engineering on the podcast for him last night. Forget the guy's name. I'll see him tonight. But
you're talking about Angie?
I think so.
Okay. Shout out, Angie. Yeah.
I think so. Anyway. anyway, you know, he just did it, you know. He took that step and started doing it regularly, like 2 times a week, and, you know, all the work that goes into it. I mean, like, you're doing with your podcast and we're doing with ours, you know. Let's just take that step forward, and then it's there. Your name's on it. People can look at it. People can see what you've done. They can go back, you know, you get caught up. However, maybe eventually you've got a library. You can sell it. You know, how cool is that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
For me, probably my favorite episode was Dave Attell, just because I love Dave Attell. And just like the weirdness of those two being in an office for Saturday Night Live together, and that's probably my favorite one. But my favorite story from the entire timeline was the very first episode, and it was the fucking Tracy Morgan, the roast story. I don't know, do you guys know that one?
I do. I remember it vaguely. I haven't listened to it in a long time.
And like that's
the one where go ahead. I think it's what I'm thinking of.
Well, it's the one where, like, there's a roast for Barry Katz, and, like, everybody's, you know, busting him down and all that kind of stuff, and Tracy goes up there, and he pretty much breaks down, and, like, okay, you're going to have to forgive me, but here we go. He's like, if you want to make it, you got to get yourself a white Jew manager like Barry Katz. He's like, I got to go because I'm breaking down, but my word is my bond. Whatever. Yeah. That whole thing. Sorry about the shit. I feel really bad about that all of a sudden.
Hey, you know what? It's way better than I do. Like, if you listen to our podcast, you'll notice whenever there's a voice or something like that, I've purposely rewritten everything so that Cobb can do the voices, because I suck.
Wait, which one does he do?
I do all the human soundboards.
Do you?
Any voice, right?
To call it. Any voice, any sound effect, anything.
Give me a The Made Me Feel Great guy.
I can't do that. Oh, Earl Clark?
Earl Clark, yeah, yeah.
Made me feel great. Simple.
It's awesome. I love it.
But we do. We have, like, brain sound drops on the podcast. We'll do, you know, we'll do the Who's. After a bad or good Caruso, we'll do a Who scream, you know, a big yeah. And I've started improvising as of lately. Like, I did an AC/DC one a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
And I try to do a David Lee Roth All Right at least once an episode, once a podcast.
Awesome. I gotta be honest. I've only listened to half of the first episode, but I will definitely.
It's all
be,
good.
I'll definitely be all over it from now on. Because you guys
our
are
production
fucking
value gets. Our production value gets better as you go on. The first episode, I mean, when I listened to that the first week, I thought, damn, this is unlistenable. We got to fix this bad. But, right. You know, listening to it lately, it's not as bad as I thought. I'm like, I'm my worst critic.
Oh, man, my first 20 shows were recorded on the pinhole mic on an iPad. And I mean, they're not awful, but it's not good. You know, there's no levels. Yeah. There's no, I mean, mm-hmm. nothing. So,
but that's what you got to do. You got to when you're getting out there, you just got to take the training wheels off and just go at it. Like,
right.
Regardless of what happens, you just got to get through it. And then that's where you learn. And we were talking earlier about criticism, and Brad and I, we're probably our best critics. And I think we once upon a first listen to a recently completed podcast, we're able to critique ourselves and each other to the exact pinpoint of what we want to do better the next week.
Right.
And
no, like, that's going to happen.
You're ahead of the game.
Because you're going to listen back and you'll be like, oh, God, I say like a lot, or, you know, all these verbal crutches that you want to, you know, fix. you know, that just kind of comes with it, I think. But, again, like I said, I really commend you guys for the amount of work that you're putting into this thing. Because, like, I hit a button to start and then I hit a button to finish. And then I barely, you know, slap some shit on the front and the back end, and then that's it. But the fact that you guys are, you know, putting in all this work, you know, sifting through the tweets yourselves and all that kind of stuff, like, it's going to pay off for sure. The people that do find you, and they find you in the right chain of awesomeness, I mean, they're gonna appreciate what you guys do with that. So,
thank you.
One last question, guys. Like, what's your favorite bit, or even, you know, boil it down further than that? Like, what's your favorite just like aspect, like? I mean, little tiny anything of J More Sports.
Fred, do you want to go first?
Oh, I'll tell you what my least favorite one is rapid fire. I'll typically just sucks. Turn it off or just turn it down. I don't know. I mean, occasionally it's okay. It's good for background noise, but it's nothing I look forward to. I wouldn't miss it if it went away.
You should tweet him and tell him you shouldn't do rapid fire anymore. I bet you get blocked.
Right, that's exactly.
That would not go over well.
Not my, doing it right!
Yeah, you're not doing it right. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that would be, if I had a least favorite one, it would be that. I would say it's unlistenable, but it's not something I'm paying attention to.
But
that's okay.
But to this last rapid fire, we have...
Fuck. Hey,
that was great.
Okay, guys, can you hang on a second, dude?
Yes.
Fuck, sure. Hang on.
All right, I got to think of an answer for this, Cobb. What are we going to answer? Well, he's.
I know what I'm going to answer. I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to ruin your surprise. Like, you know.
Well, why don't you answer it, and then maybe I'll go off something after that.
I just wanted to get one point out about rapid fire, about Friday's rapid fire.
Well, do it now. I mean, he's, move on. We're hanging on. Just say it now while he's not here.
Oh, he didn't put us on pause. We're recording.
I think so.
Okay. Well, I was just going to mention that. It was especially thrilling for me this last rapid fire because Jay Taylor Gang got in there with an Eminem, and on Hip Hop Friday, and he's one of my favorite Tweety Moyers, you know, because you know I have a soft spot for that dude, you know.
Very good.
But for the most part, rapid fire, it's a good idea. It's just there needs to be better. Just better calls, better gimmicks or something. It's lately they haven't been rapid enough. Like most, like there have been some good ones where they're actually rapid and they go and like the guys are like doing impressions and they're doing jokes and they're in and out like in like 2 or 3 seconds. But then you have the guy rapid fire right before you left and I just
he got that. That's recorded. So just tell him your answer now.
So my answer, my favorite bit is actually the top five at five with Dan Byer because. As a tweeting warrior, I sit there like Pavlov's dog, just waiting for like the diamonds and pearls. I am the champion rip to come off the soundboard. So I'm sitting there like diamonds and pearls. I am the champion.
And you know, I realize
as soon as that hits me.
What I realize my favorite part of that is the Transformer sound. Like I don't know. I just think that's one of the coolest sounds ever. But
where is that? I missed it.
It's right at the beginning, like before the it has like the mechanical like the like
yeah
that's the Transformer thing, and then it does a tiny bit of American Badass from Kid Rock, and then it goes into the Diamonds and Pearls,
then right into the I am the champion.
I love that shit. It's awesome.
I'd say my favorite. Oh, go ahead.
But but the great thing about it is not even just the sound drop is that like you don't get a top five of five at 9 o'clock or you know on the first hour I should say, but you only get a top five of five in the second hour and the third hour. And when you're tweeting Moyer like myself and Brad, me personally, there's fodder right there. He's giving you like five bits of fodder in like just like a right. five or like less than a 5 or 10 minute period.
No, that yeah, that's like, the door oh, opening. You're like, hey, come and get it. You know?
Yeah, and you're I'm like I'm literally salivating. Like I referenced Pavlov's dogs earlier, but I'm literally salivating like a dog. Like I gotta hear what he's his topics are because it's gonna be nuts. Because you know Jay Moore has him do that on purpose, and I you know they work really well together. I think Dan and Jay work really well together, and I know Dan's not there for the entire show. He just comes in when he's requested, or he's there at the or he's there like 5 minutes after the hour. But it's great fodder, and like that's like part of the great experience of tweeting the show is the community that we were talking about earlier. Is you get guys that are just there and they entertain each other, and like you know only like maybe like 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 of these tweets are going to get read, but you have guys riffing and just like you're reading like 40 tweets at a time, just like laughing. You got one ear, you know, you got one ear on the radio and you got one eye on your Twitter screen and you're just having a good time.
Right. My favorite thing that they do is it happens about 2 to 3 times a week, but he'll announce usually the top of the 10 o'clock hour, the second hour or whatever, that, you know, they came up with some little bit that they're gonna try out. So it's just like this raw experimental comedy thing. And they give it 10 minutes and they try to milk it for all it is, like this the one that somebody brought up on I guess on the JayMooreSports.com site a few days ago was when they did jobs that Don Martin did, and that somebody said somebody requested Don Martin as a pimp, you know, and I went looking for it, I couldn't find it, but I did find the bit that they did, you know, and it's like they just to see like a professional comic or listen to a professional comic, like just like work the edges of some topic and just like, okay, where am I going to start with it? What am I going to do with it next? And not with like the preparation that goes into doing a stand-up show, but like with maybe, you know, they might've had 10 or 15 minutes of preparation for that beforehand. And then they make it funny, you know, and just like find those things and then leave all sorts of angles for everybody else to come in with. That's my favorite. That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Wait, do you remember what the Don Martin pimp thing said?
You know what? I couldn't find the Don Martin pimp thing. I think God. It's sometime after April 11th it's after. Because I think April 11th was the day that he introduced that segment. And the request actually came from Drew Arnakovich for Don Martin as pimp. But I think it was done afterward.
Well, remember he had... I remember...
Hey, Cobb, do it.
Maddie.
Do your Don Martin impression.
Yeah, well, he had Maddie play a quote-unquote John... And then Don was going to play the pimp. And so Maddie's like, oh, hey, Don, I was wondering if I could get a lady. And then Jay runs right into a Don Martin impression. He's like, hey, my man, you got to go across the street. You can't just be walking up on me like that, my man. And it's like, hey, I got ladies upstairs. You can't just crunch on me. People watching me now, buddy. Come on, man. You got to go across the street. All right, now, what do you want to do? You want to go for 2 hours? You want to go for 3 hours?
Jesus.
And I got a lady of the night up there. She's ready, hot, ready for you. It was classic, and it's just like how Maddie, like, it was classic. It was pretty good.
That's fucking awesome, man.
Thank you.
There you go. Holy shit.
I should ask Cobb instead of looking it up myself.
You guys are great, man.
Thanks, man. It was fun.
I appreciate you guys being on. So plug your stuff last little bit here.
All right, so what's our podcast called, Cobb?
Our podcast is the Tweeting Moyer podcast.
Right. And we're on episode four. Number 4, which will probably come out Sunday, June 2nd.
Yeah. Tronny, when are you going to drop this one? When are you going to drop GFT?
You know what? Maybe in the morning, because this was a lot of fun. And
maybe
why
in the
not?
Morning. Okay.
You
know? So, cool in deal. The morning, if you're listening to this, TMP, well,
TMP4, tweeting, just come up. Yeah, come over to yogurteater.com. We'll have it for you there as a YouTube video.
Yogurt Eater, you assholes.
Yogurteater.com. Think of Lab Right, Lab Night, Lab Mice Balls. Made me feel good. Think of Yogurt Eater. think yeah. of
Nice.
Lab mice balls.
Lab mice there balls. Go. I'm joined by the lovely and talented Rob O'Leary. What's up, man? What are you looking for? Oh. Rob is not exactly a svelte man, and he walked over here, and he's looking for some fanning action. Oh, get on here real quick there, sir.
I'm trying to figure...
Demon. Come on, get in here. Why are you so sweaty?
Hello.
What's going on, man?
Oh, my God. I rode this bike that was like five sizes too small for me over here. And almost hit this fucking grandma.
I'm on the horn with Brad Hutchings and Jay Cobb. They do a podcast about a podcast about a radio show about a podcast. But they're fucking really funny guys. tell us, before we let them go, like what happened on the way over here, sir?
So see, when you're a 350 pounder and you get on a bike, like I'm probably not that. I'm close. And you get on a bike that's meant for like a normal size person, and it's like one of those fancy ones with all like the shocks. And when I get on it, you just kill the shocks.
Oh.
And so like the pedals were literally like hitting the ground as I'm trying to fucking get over here. And like I'm just being a fat, out of shape mess, and I was just like really not paying attention to what I was doing. The sidewalk's really small by your house, and there's just this old lady, and it was almost a head-on collision.
Were there sparks coming out from the pedals hitting the ground?
If it was dark, there probably would have been. It's a little light outside still. old bitch.
Come on.
It's 350 pounds of pure muscle, right?
Dude, I'm so fucking ripped.
He's all cock, this guy.
Fucking meaty hog weight.
All right, so last plugs for me, gentlemen. Gofromthere.podbean.com is the home site. Subscribe, Facebook comment, all that shit. And you can also search one word, Go From There, on both Stitcher and iTunes. And, get pregnant, yeah. man, this was fun. If you guys are down, we should do it again. We'll let some other, you know, weird drama with the Twitter hat trick contest flesh out, and then we'll go again.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I'm down with that.
All right.
Thank you, Trevante.
Brad, Jay, you guys were awesome. Thank you so much, man.
All right, guys.
All right, later.
All right, take care.
Lady party.